You're listening to Greater LA from KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. Hi, I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're starting to get a clear idea of what political leadership in the city of Los Angeles will look like. Well, for starters, Congresswoman Karen Bass will be
the next mayor of Los Angeles. I kind of have to say that a couple of times for it to really sink in.
She told a raucous crowd in Mid-Wilshire earlier today that she spoke with developer Rick Caruso, thanked him for all he's done in L.A., and wants to work with him going forward. She'll take over in the coming weeks, as will other new faces on the L.A. City Council. Hugo Soto Martinez will soon represent District 13, which runs from Hollywood out to Echo Park and Atwater Village, beating the incumbent there, Mitch O'Farrell. And City Council member-elect Hugo Soto Martinez is here to talk about his new job. Congratulations to you. Welcome to Greater LA.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
You grew up here in LA, right?
I was born and raised in South Central Los Angeles. And then later in my adult life, I moved around in Los Feliz. And I'm currently in East Hollywood.
East Hollywood right now, representing District 13, or soon to be representing. I've read that your parents came from Mexico and worked as street vendors, which is a tough way to make a living. The restaurant business or even a street vendor business is very difficult. How do you think your background informed or is informing your political views?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It informs them like in such a high way. I mean, I remember my mom and dad had six kids. I was the second oldest. And so, you know, as is typical to the older children, you sort of bear the brunt of the hardship. And so, you know, many times we were out there selling with my mom and my dad, not in a very active role, not a very passive role. So I got to see the city through the lens of someone who didn't have power, who was poor and had to face all the many issues that exist in the city, you know, through that life experience. And so, I think it's shaped me tremendously, and I've been a union organizer for 16 years, trying to make sure people have good wages and health care and a pension. And so I see very similar ideology from the union into City Hall. We're just trying to give working people a voice, make the city work for people, and not be beholden to the special interests who, you know, just profit off of the city left and right.
What was it that made you decide? I mean, what was the factor that made you decide that you wanted to lead this district at the city council?
I just felt just a deep sense of urgency, not just on working issues, but really everything that was facing the city, whether it was homelessness, housing costs, the lack of urgency around the climate crisis. It just felt so much. So just seeing the urgency of the city really, really moved me in that direction.
The urgency of the city. And again, you mentioned you worked as an organizer, and you've also been engaged with the local chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA, which was very active in your campaign, working in your campaign. What does socialism mean to you? And how do you think you'll be applying those kinds of ideals in your work on the council?
You know, socialism was a very scary word, many, many years ago. It was in the textbooks and the Red Scare and things like that. And I think what Bernie Sanders did was make it normal. And that's if you believe that workers should have a living wage, that college should be affordable or publicly funded or free like many states, that we should have universal health care, that immigrants should have the right to stay here. And if you're against bigotry and hatred, and against income inequality, then you have a lot of the, you check a lot of the boxes for being a socialist.
I mean, conservatives for a long time boogeyman the word socialism and clumped it in with communism as well. And by the way, socialism and communism are very different things. How do you fight against that, though? Because it seems like it still kind of sticks and people hear the word socialism and they're like, again, not even realizing that Social Security, Medicare, you know, things like that are socialist programs.
Yeah, no, that's right. I think it's true. And, you know, many times on the campaign trail, you know, a lot of this propaganda had come out. And you know, I would meet people and I sensed the perception. I sensed the divisiveness that was created by that propaganda. And so the best antidote to that is just get to know me. And what I found was most people, after having a conversation, you know, a very civil conversation, most people walked away with a positive impression. And I think that's why we're able to win in this district, because we did more than 80 of these small gatherings within the district, and people got to really understand who I was and the policies that I was fighting for.
Homelessness, obviously, is the crisis issue of our time, it certainly in Los Angeles. What have the city and the county, do you think, what have they been doing right, and what have they been getting wrong, and how are you hoping to, you know, just to move the ball forward with helping people get off the streets and into housing, whether temporary or permanent?
Yeah, there's very few things that I can point to of them doing right, other than, you know, obviously there's a lot more investment into this crisis, which I think is a good thing. However, I think there's so many shortcomings. You know, we only have housing for 40% of the unhoused population in the city of Los Angeles, meaning that we have allowed this sort of level of neglect to happen over the years. And most of the solutions have been to try to build our way out of it, you know, building new things. And don't get me wrong, we need to build the more permanent infrastructure. However, we could have used underutilized vacant buildings that exist in the city. You know, when we drive, we walk around, we see vacant buildings. We know that the St. Vincent Hospital, you know, in the district is empty. The Sears Tower is empty. The city could have used the same pocket of money to refurbish those buildings and get them online much faster than building our way out of it. And so that's one thing that we want to do, and obviously lead with housing first solutions. But, you know, we could have used those buildings in a much more effective way to get people housed quicker.
Well, to take your point about the Sears building, this is the one downtown, right? There is a lot of back and forth about whether and how many people should be in that building. And a lot of the neighbors say no.
This is another thing I point to as it being done incorrect. You know, the council, well, as I understand it, and obviously I'm not in Boyle Heights, but, you know, the plans were put out first and then they engaged the community. You know, any one of us would be upset if a decision is being made within in our backyard or in our neighborhood unilaterally without our input. And so that's another mistake that's happened, right? When we see these projects being thought of, you know, they make decisions first and then go to the community. It should be the other way around. People should feel like they have input. I think if we do that, people's fears or notions will be assuaged. And I think we all recognize that it's something that could happen. And it would be positive for the community and positive for the city. And so that's we intend to do a lot of outreach when we talk about these issues.
You not only studied poli-sci at UC Irvine, but also criminology. One of the big issues the region has been grappling with is policing, obviously. Mm-hmm. The city mm-hmm. is expanding a pilot program of unarmed response teams to handle certain kinds of nonviolent 911 calls. How have your studies in criminology informed the way you think about, you know, what's sometimes referred to as, you know, the defunding the police movement? And where are you on defunding the police?
I grew up in South Central, in an area with a lot of issues, a lot of poverty, crimes of poverty. So I went to school to try to understand it. Why does this happen in our society? And ultimately, it comes down to resources. When there are communities with more resources, these issues don't happen. Families with good jobs, good housing, good health care, a lot of the things that happen in South Central don't happen in Brentwood. On this campaign tour, we have talked about how can we use the money that we have from LAPD. And LAPD, one LAPD officer is about $170,000 per one person. But they're doing calls that, you know, frankly, they don't want to do themselves. They don't want to handle the homeless calls, the mental health crisis. They're not trained for it. They'd rather be doing other things that are more urgent. And so we could be like cities like Denver, and even Orange County is doing a pilot program that when there is a nonviolent call, it gets redirected to an EMT and a mental health clinician. And that money that we save, we can use it for fixing our potholes, the tree trimming, the speed bumps, other programs that we desperately need in the city. So, you know, this is a much complicated subject, but when we talk about it and really break down the cost of our current system and its many shortcomings, I think most people do agree with a certain different vision. And so I'm able to use my background in criminology to try to really dissect that and put it in a way that people can understand very quickly.
There is an uptick in certain types of crime, though, has been over the last couple of years across much of greater L.A. Karen Bass, she has called for increased police patrols in her campaign. What's been your reaction to that?
My sort of approach is not to go ahead and you know, increase the system that is already not working for the city of Los Angeles. And I've talked to so many people, you know, when they call for, you know, small issues, the police show up 2-3 hours later. Increasing that is not going to fix it because the system is inherently flawed. We can move those non-violent calls, which, by the way, it's a large portion of them. Not only will we give people more safety, more accountability to these issues, but it also frees up the police to deal with the things that are urgent. My personal position is not, let's not continue to invest in a system that's already not working for the city. And so let's try to print, let's try to give a new vision of how to do things. A vision that other cities have tried, and it's been very effective.
You're entering the city council at a time of fire. I guess it's baptism by fire because of those racist comments that were made by city leaders, came to light. What did you take away from that recording that was released?
You know, what that showed was something we all always suspected. We always suspected the backroom dealings. We always suspected the quid pro quo. That showed the most disgusting and despicable parts of the city. And it really showed that this is rotten. It is rotten at its core.
Rotten is so a strong word.
That is what they showed is a rotten culture. Absolutely. We have to call it what it is.
Racist for sure is rotten. Yes, of course.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. As hurtful and as that was, I do have faith that from that hurt can emerge something different. And that's, you know, me and Eunices, and, you know, I hopefully can lead that more positive vision.
Eunices Hernandez, of course, taking over in the Highland Park area, right, in that district. And
that's right.
A lot of new faces on the L.A. City Council. We want to wish you the best of luck. City Council member-elect Hugo Soto Martinez, congratulations to you. And we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much. Always happy to come on and, you know, share with the public what we're doing. And, you know, transparency and accountability is key. And we plan to lead on it as long as we're in office.
Coming up, author Susan Strait's most recent book, Mecca, based here in the Southland, tackles immigration, poverty, COVID, the canyons, and the wind. That's just ahead after this short break.